the very last word on today's page, if you take a quick look, is Puria, which on 23b, the last word, again, I don't know if we're going to get there because there's a lot of work, you know, the very last word. So the Rashi and others don't learn that it has to do with Puria. But what they do learn is very unusual and strange. And the Mefarshim learn it has to do with Purim. And so, you know, an hour, we'll find out an hour before Purim starts tomorrow night, maybe, or if we get there this morning, we'll have to see. But there's a big Purim lesson in the that's coming up the of all times. What? Eilim Metzius, yeah. So let's see what happens.
I missed that. Could you say that again? I missed that.
I'm just doing a teaser because I want to make sure I wasn't. Not everybody comes before Shabbos afternoon. There's another shiur there. So, but the very last word on today's page, Bepuria, the Mefarshim learn has to do with Purim, and there's a big Purim lesson in there. So make sure if we don't get to it today, hopefully we'll definitely get to it on Shabbos, Mr. Shem, but it's just a fascinating thing that, yeah, this is a different subject that we have, is that it's the wink from Hashem. And that is when you learn something unrelated. And, you know, Daf Yomi, we're in the sea of Talmud of the, you know, the thousands of pages. It doesn't have to necessarily fit in with what we're doing today. But when it does, when it connects to something that you're doing, Hashem is giving you a wink and saying, good, you know, that's the, you're doing what you're supposed to. That's the concept. When you see in something that, you know, you just open up a Gemara and it has something to do with what you're planning, you know, your service of Hashem on that particular day or that week, that's a sign that you're in the right place. And so that's, Hashem gave Klal Yisrael, you know, on the day before Purim, He wants them to know about the mitzvahs in Purim, that he's there, those people that learned Daf Yomi. So, but at any rate, we'll have to see if we... Yeah.
Since you said that, just to take another 10 seconds, going back one cycle, possibly two, on the day of Purim, we were learning our shir,
mm-hmm.
You can make reference to the lishka in the Beis HaMikdash that was called Shushan.
Oh, really? We had that? I don't remember that.
Called Shushan, in memory, in the second Beis HaMikdash, in memory of Shushan Abira. And on Purim, we learned about that Mishka, that office in the Beis HaMikdash called Shushan.
Wow. I didn't remember that. But yeah, you get every now and then. And again, it's just hard to... yes, I'm just showing you what the Shkocha practice. Okay. So we are in a fascinating place. We're in the middle of the Simen Sugya, of the lost objects and ways to identify. And what's happening is there at least three different arguments here about aspects of these signs when you're obligated to call it out, because there's something that you... Now, if the owner has no way of proving that it's his, so you can't return it to him because there's no him. It could belong to anybody. How do we even know this is his? So there's something called a simen that means that there's something he can tell us that indicates that it's his thing that was lost. So first of all, that means he maybe didn't give up hope of losing it, because he can tell an honest person exactly, describe it, and then we'll know that it was his, and they'll try to give it back to him. So what constitutes that minimum simen? Sign that, first of all, there's no yish, and you might try to locate the owner, and then he'll be able to tell you something, or no, you could keep it. So, and the challenge will be in these three machlokas, and they have, it's very unusual to have three, you know, usually have one, maybe two. We're going to have three. We're going to learn a number of variations in the same three machlokas, which it'll sound a little bit repetitive, but some of them are more nuanced than others, and some of them are actually repetitive. Art Scroll has a nice chart at the end of it if you want to chart out the these different issues to look at. We're going to go back to the two dots on 22B because it introduces some of these debates. It started with these sheaves that are found in Rishusa Rabbim. You're welcome to keep them, these sheaves of grain. You know, usually there's nothing unique about a sheave of grain. So Omar Rabba, Afilu Bedavar Sheyesh Bo Simen, he says you can keep it even if it's got his name on it. That's surprising. What's the reason? Kesavar Rabba Simen Asuli Doris. So this is the first of the that what if you had something on there that indicated it was yours, but it's likely to fall off? That's that word, simen asui ledoris. It's a simen. It's clear that it's got your name. It's got your tag. It's got your yellow ribbon. You could tell. You could identify it. But whatever you put on there to identify is not likely to be on there very long. It's you left it in the public. Everybody's going to step on it. By the time somebody picks it up and says, "What's this?" It's gonna have fallen off. So the question is, things that are asuye ledoris, that are meant to be stepped on, is that a simon? Yeah.
When I learned this yesterday, what I said to myself is that if it's really nice and it's together and it hasn't been trampled yet, someone's going to see it and they're going to grab it right away. why does the Gemara assume that it's going to be kicked and trampled on? If you see something in the public domain, I think the natural inclination of a person is like, wow, look at that, and pick it up.
It's hard to, it could be that if it's on the ground and everybody's in a rush, in a hurry, they wouldn't notice it right away. And it's depending on how crowded it is, who's looking, you know, on the ground, you know, did I kick something? Sometimes that happens, you know, what did I just kick? You know, is it
a lot of people tend to watch where they're walking, you know, I mean, you don't want to step into anything, you know, you're careful, you're walking, you don't want to bump into anybody. I think human nature is that people are very mind attuned to what they're doing. Not true, some people are busy with their phones or whatever, but you have both kinds of people. You really have both kinds of people.
It depends on what this Rishus HaRabim is. If it's like, you know, the expressway, 285, and something falls off of a truck, even if it's a nice piece of equipment, nobody stops. You just keep going, and it ends up being smashed to smithereens.
That's
I'm saying it depends on the situation, which is why I was wondering why Rob is coming out so across the board and saying, even though there's a simon, it's, you know, finders keepers.
So I did see one thing in the Tosas, I'm looking for it, that sometimes you put it down and the owner is right there watching. So, in other words, not everybody picks it up because, let's see, there's also, we're going to see, sometimes it's a setup for some reason. You know, why did this person leave this here? And what if the person put it down and just for a minute to adjust his backpack, and if you're going to grab it, you get punched in the nose for taking it. So it's only after it's kicked around a little that you... But I hear, again, there are many, many important issues here to figure out. You're right. I imagine a person would want to grab it first.
Yeah. Okay.
But it's worth thinking about. These Gemaras, some Gemaras you have to work hard to find things to discuss. One of the reasons that they learn these in the yeshivas is you can easily take two lines and spend a whole day on, you know, let's say. But anyway, that's the first question. Some people learn this totally separate. Simenesui ledores, this identifying feature, but it's very temporary because it's going to be stepped on. Omar Lohavi Simon. That's the fact that you could have identified it when it was brand new before it got kicked, that's not helpful. Rava says, no, that's a simon, tanan. So let's try to bring a proof to this debate from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah talked about krikos b'rishus harabim. These sheaves in the public area, we said, keep it. B'rishus hayachid, if you find it in a private area, you're obligated to pick it up and announce it. Hey, kidami, what's the case? Ideles b'hu simon. If we're talking about these sheaves, that there's no possible way to identify them, b'rishus hayachid, my machris. What is it you're going to call out? nobody can tell you that it's theirs. El olav d'isbu simen. Clearly, there must be something unique about it that you'll be able to identify the owner. And even though there is something unique, b'rishus harabim, you could keep it. Why? Alma simen esu ledoris. Because even though there's something unique and special, but it's going to be stepped on, it must be that's not a simen. Tufta de Rava, this proves him wrong. Amalach Rava, no, I can explain it the way, lo, really, there is no simen at all. In other words, really, if it's a simon asili doris, agree with me that that is a simon. As long as it's still there, you're obligated to call it out, and the owner can identify it. That our question was, if there is no simon visible on it, so what in the Rishus HaYachid would you call out? So now the Gemara says there's a new concept. It doesn't have to be that the item itself is unique, but where it was placed is unique. My makris makom, and that's the second of the great debates. In other words, one has to do with the distinguishing feature, and we'll talk about that. The other has to do with maybe where it's placed. Rabba says, well, where it's placed is no big, anybody could put it there. Ditmar, makom, something in a place. Rabba says, that doesn't identify it. Rabba says, it does identify it. I'm not sure what the argument is. I mean, it does identify it. Is it not identify it enough? It does it enough? Are there two opinions?
But it's not the object.
Okay. It's not the So also, does it have to do, is it the strength of the place, if it's on the 10th shelf up on the right, or is it, is it?
But it's not the object.
It's not the object. Okay. That's
yeah,
the same.
Say the same thing. We're going to say, with money, if it's stacked. Yeah, but it's not identifying what the coins are. It's strange.
Right.
That it be stacked, but okay. It's not the object itself.
So it gets, the heart of the matter is what is a simon? What does a simon do? Is it just a way that we can feel that you're the owner, or that maybe you didn't give up hope because you knew where to go look for it? Or, what exactly is the concept of Tashma? So, Krikim, Shusa, Rabbi Elisha, you can keep them in the public. Shusa, you got to call them out. Va'alumas. This is. But what about the really big, not just the small sheaves, bundles, those big bundles? This word you should know from Yosef in the dream, the big bundles, you got a bundle. It's so funny today because we talk about cloud, people think computers. You talk about bundles, you think about software. It's a different bundles of wheat, right? So it's a different time. You better call them out. So Rabbi Hikmetar Slay, how does Rabbi learn? How does Rava learn? Rabbi Matarslay, he learns consistent with his opinion, Bissimon. You got to sign on it. Rabbi Matarslay, and he learns consistent with his opinion that we're talking about location. And we explain. Rabbi Matarslay, Bissim, Rishu, Sarabim, Hare Elu Shalom. He learned there's a sign on it. And when you find it in a big public area, you can keep these big bundles. Mishum, why? The Midrasa. The sheaves. The reason is because even though there's a sign on it, it's going to get stepped on. And since it's going to get stepped on, it's not going to stay there very long. In a private area, we're on the top of today's page, 23a, Chaf Gimel Amud Aleph. In the private area, no tool makris. You're going to have to announce it because the lo midrasa wasn't stepped on. The bundles, volumos, bay b'shusa rab, whether they're in the public place, whether in the private place, you always call them out. Why? Kivin de gabeham. They're tall. You don't step on them. They're too big to step on. So the simon that's there will be, even in Rishus HaRabim, is not going to get fall off. So if you learn the issue is the simon, a simon asule doris, a simon that's temporary and could fall off, on the big bundles it won't fall off because it's not going to be doris. It won't be stepped on. They'll walk around it or... Rava, and Rava will be consistent with his opinion. He learns it has to do with where it's located. B'makom, krikus b'shusa rabim. If the small bundles in b'shusa rabim, you can keep them. Why? Demishtifa. It's a great word. Diminishtifa. It's stepped on. B'shusa yachid, it's kicked. In a private area, you got to announce it. Lo minshtiva. It doesn't get minshtiva. It doesn't get Rashi minshtiva. Top line. Mizgalgo baragla, it's a rolling target, it rolls around. Uvehema veinu nimsa b'malchum shenaf. It's not where it started. Minshtifa means, what is the art scroll? What? Mobile? Does the art scroll have a word for minshtifa? Sometimes they choose to
moved about.
Okay. When you say mobile, that's a good one. It's mobile. It's minshtifa. It's not going to be where it fell.
It's pronounced Minashtifa.
Minashtifa. Okay. Minashtifa. Wonder what the source of that word is. But okay. But the big bundles.
I didn't Rabbi Stein, yeah. Just, you know, just a very quick digression in terms of what you were talking about, Bipuri at the end of the daf.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it just occurs to me, and I think it's a good machshava to keep in mind, that whether you hold like Rava or whether you hold like Rabba, that people don't step on it because it's big or because of the location. This is a sign from us to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that we're not Miyayish on the Beis HaMikdash. So there's a simon. You know, there's a big wall. They turned it into a garbage heap. There's a big wall.
Uh-huh.
We're not Miyayish.
I see. Wow. That's great, Dr. Yashi. That there is that concept that as long as you remember the Beis HaMikdash, that it won't be, we don't give up hope, you know, that's the, okay, very good. Right, very good. I wasn't going so deep, but that is correct, that is the whole idea of a lost object, okay. Valumas and the big bundles, Bein Bishusa Rabim, whether they're in public private notes, you better call them out. Why? Kimidi Akiri, since they're heavy, they're big, low minchtefa, they're not going to roll around so much. Okay, so we've thrown out a bunch of different ideas. Who's right? So Tashma, we're going to Tashma territory. Yeah.
Why are we talking about Rishusa
Yachim? Why not? What's the...
Metzia and Rishusa Yachim. The Stam, it belongs to whoever owns the Rishusa Yachim.
That's a good point. Okay. In other words, if it's in my yard, of course it's mine. Well, I guess you'd have to say this person is saying it's not mine. Well, you know, I found something here, something in my yard. It's not mine. Can I just keep it? Or what? Yeah, but it's not robust. If it were in Rishusa Rabim, it would get kicked around. It might be the owner. It might be his own Rishusa Yachid. But that's a good point. We didn't really think about that yet. About what does it mean Rishusa Yachid? Like, does it mean that there's an owner, or does it mean that very few? You could go the other side. Anything that's not a Rishusa Rabim, is that considered a Rishusa Yachid? Okay. But maybe this, we mean just not a Rishusa Rabim. And then it would be easy to understand. There are a few people to go through. It's just, you don't have 600,000, so it's...
But we've had like the Steve as an example. It's off to the side, but we don't call it Rishusa Yachid.
So that's a good, it's really a good question. When we mean Rishusa Yachid here, so in Hilchus Shabbos, Rishusa Yachid is a private property usually, But in other areas, if Rishusa Rabim is a very big area, Rishusa Yachid means it's not quite as big, but you could still have traffic or some individuals where maybe you don't know who was here. Did somebody leave something in my my yard or something? Who left it? Purim is a time where you find stuff in your house. You know, you have a lot of people coming in, dropping off, especially if the weather's bad. Who left this umbrella? Who left the raincoat? It's Rishusa Yachid, but can I keep it? There's, you know, that's the thing. There's very little simon on a black raincoat, you know. It's everybody's got the same one, and especially the plastic. You can't really write on it or whatever, the Shana raincoat or something. Whose is this? Okay. So that's another good thought. Tashma, come in here. Kikrishol Nachtum. Loaves of a baker. So they're generic. The ones that are made generically, you could keep them. Hasho balabais. But if it's privately baked stuff, chayv l'hachris. Sometimes you look at the homentashin and you debate. Is this, you know, public stuff? So I usually, from my end, it comes from the kashrus angle. Like, privately, I feel like you just want to make, sometimes I wouldn't necessarily eat from every single person in the world, unless I knew their kashrus. But on the other hand, if they bought it publicly, does this look like the public, you know, homentash? Or no, it's too professional looking to be a private one. It's a private one, so if you're careful with every, who could be careful with every single thing delivered in your house on Purim? You know, that every single, you know, or not, maybe, okay. But anyway, So is this professionally baked or private? But in bread, it's relatively easy. You're not going to debate. You can tell because the public breads, everything is the same shape. It's the same size. It's because they're doing mass production. Whereas private bread, and certain people make things a certain way. They have their unique recipe. So Nachtam Harishu, Shobala Bayis, you have to announce. Shobala Bayis, my time, Akivin, Isbe Simon, since there's an identifying feature. What's the feature? The Meida Yada Rifted Inish Inishu. Everybody knows the bread of so and so is so and so's bread. That's Bernie the Baker, or that's, I don't know, that's whatever it is. Loshna Rishusa Rabbi, Loshna Rishusa Yachi, it doesn't matter where you find it, call it out. You know whose bread this is. Alma Simon Asuli Doris Havi Simon. Now, even though it's not going to stay on bread very long, it's still a good Simon. Chufti Rabba, we got you, Rabba. Amalach Rabba, no, there's a different reason. And that is, we assumed that bread isn't big and heavy, it's going to get kicked around. We assumed that's what would happen. Now we're introduced to a new thing, that maybe it won't get kicked around. It's not a sui ledoris. Hainu tai mishum de'ein mavirin ala ochlen, because there's a famous rule. Don't step on food. So the question is, where did this famous rule come from? Is it a Jewish rule? Is it a Gentile rule? Rashi. Ein mavirin ala ochlen, lav lashon drisa, who it doesn't mean like to step on, ela kamo, Ein mavirin ala mitzvahs. It doesn't get passed by. So, I mean, you stop and you pick it up. But people don't kick around food. The Gemara says, if it's a Jewish thing, the Gentiles will step on it. No, he says, even non-Jews don't step on the bread. They're afraid there's a spell on it. Quick look in Tosos. What exactly is the kishuf? They put a spell on it. It's almost like they put it down. Actually, I want to do the Rashi on there. This is what I mentioned to you before about what somebody, we were asking why a person wouldn't pick it up when it's nice and clean and before anybody stepped on it, because we're afraid it's there with an agenda. This is one of the Chayish L'Kshaf, Rashi Sover, Shemach Mas K'Shaf, and Hum Kush L'Sham, that was put there by the witches, to make the people that stumble on it get them in trouble. Even though they might not pick it up. So this sounds like Jews are going to pick it up. They don't leave bread on the floor. They'll go out of their way, and it implies you should. And I've seen that. I've seen if people see food on the floor, they it's important that somebody should. Can't identify exactly because food is a bracha. I mean, usually by the time it's on the floor, nobody's going to eat it. But mihu lo dorse olai. But even the Gentiles, they may not pick it up, but they're not going to step on it because of kishuf. Back to the mark. But tell that to the dogs. V'ika behema v'klovim. I mean, it's true. Maybe a person wouldn't step on it. But in Rishusa Rabim, there are other things. It's interesting that you got animals and dogs. Aren't dogs animals? Unless it means like you've got the big animals and you got the small. I think that's why the dogs are separate. Or I guess you wouldn't call a dog a behemoth. Would you call a dog a behemoth? It's a no. That's a.
You call livestock, so you think it's a cow or a sheep or goat. Or
something. Oh, I see. I guess in English, the word animal is broader than livestock. Yeah, but okay. Now, some places you don't have so many so much livestock and animals. Leima ketanoi. Okay, so again, we've got our three different issues in Simanim. We've got our question of if a simen asui ledores, a simen that could easily be stepped on, is temporary. We've got our simen that's in a special place, in a makom. Does the place do it? And what was the other issue? Simon Asuli Doris, Makum, and um, Yeah, so we'll see. So we have all these issues with the there's Mukum and there's whether it's meant to be erased, and I'm forgetting something that's going to come back to me. Okay, but we have multiple debates here about these. Well, we had before whether if you're Miyayish, if Yish Shalom Idas, but a number of issues here with the Simanim. Okay, so Lema Ketanoi. The Gemara wants to say maybe there's an earlier debate. Reb Yehuda Omer Kol Davar Sheish Bo Shinei Chayev Lahakris. If there's something unusual about it, then that's a siman, and you should announce it. Kate said, for example, Motze Igol, if you find a circle of figs, they used to pack them in a circle, and they still do. By the way, you go to the fruit market, you can find a circle of figs. There must be a reason why it's the circle, not a square or something's coming up. There must be something to being in a circle. Ubisoka keres, and you find a piece of earthenware in there. Or kikur ubisoka mos, there's money inside a loaf of bread. These are unusual things. Makladatana kamasari ishulo, you could keep it. So what's the issue? Savrua. So we have a new debate, and the question is, what's the debate about? And this debate was listed much earlier. So Savrua, we initially thought, kuli alma simin abome elav havi simin. So here it's not an intentional sign. Again, we're learning a new issue. It's simen habamei love. It's something that just happened. Somehow it happened, but once it happened, I think the reason is people don't typically put earthenware into your fruit or put money into your bread. But once it happened, is that a clear way to identify it? Umavirin al ochlin, and people do step on food. So my lot, the Simen Asulidoros committee, they're arguing in this temporary Simen. Mar Savar, that's not a proof. Well, Mar Savar, it is a Simen. Omer is Mishmei to Rava, no. Isa, because Savar Tanakama, Simen Asulidoros, lo havi Simen, if you want to say. The fact that you step on it, that's too temporary. The fact that it's, if it'll be stepped on, it'll disappear. Umavir na Ochan, and people do step on food. Kikrisho Balabai, Shushu Sarabim, if that's true, why do you announce the loaves of bread of a balabais b'shusa rabim? Why do you call them out? The simon there was that it was privately baked, and everybody knows that so and so's bread, but it's going to be stepped on. Even though it's going to be stepped on, it is a simon. Umavir and ala ochan, and they will step on it. What's the issue? If something unusual happens, something that makes this unique, but it wasn't done intentionally. Tanakama simen abamei love, that's not a simen. It's just a certain unusual things happen. That's not a way to identify it. Reviewer says, no, it is a simen. Rabba says, Omer Lach, no, I could tell you, Kuli Amu Simen Adoris, it's not a simen. Vein Mavir and Al Ochlin, and people don't step on food. Vachab simen abamei. The question was, if the fact that you didn't make it, can it still be used as a simen? Tanakama Savar, that's not a simen. Rav Yehuda Savar Havi Simen. It's interesting. It's not necessarily a way to identify it. It has to be you put it there. You made it to identify it. The fact that something's unusual, you can always find something unusual about a certain thing. You stare at it long enough. Today there's even you look at a picture and what's off in this picture. Like they try to train you to look at what's, and you look at the two, and then you look carefully, you see this is upside down, or this is, so that's not a simon necessarily, we're saying, unless you put it there. No, there's no problem. Even if it happened by itself, that would be good. And the fact that it's not going to last very long, so then that's not a simon. My lab, so then what's the argument? Do people step on food? Marsavra, of course they do. Marsavra, no, they don't. Hard to know what that argument is, too. Is it a strong enough thing? Is it common enough?
I don't think he can step on the food. He's talking about the passing by the food. Ma'avirin is not his passing by.
Well, if you pass by, means do you pick it up and make sure it doesn't get stepped on, or do you not? Yeah, even though...
I think you just walk by it.
Walking by without picking it up. That seems to be the issue, yeah. So Amrim Zid Mishmei Rava Isa Gadasava Tanakama Simnis Lili Doris Lo Have Simin. If you want to say the first opinion says that it's going to get stepped on, that's not a reminder. That's not a simin. Umavir and Ala Ochan and people, they pass by food, it's going to get stepped on. Kikrisho Balabais. I think if you pass it by also, it means that people will step on it without noticing it. It's just, it's not going to be picked up, and it's Rishu Sarabim. And so, Kikrisho Balabais Rishu Sarabim. Why do you call them out for the loaves of bread? Elom Rizim, Shade Rava, Kuli Alma, must be, everybody agrees, Simnis Lidoris, that even though it's going to get stepped on, that is enough to announce. Mavir and Ella Oakland and people will step on it, pass by. The question is, the identifying feature that you didn't put there, but is there. Tanakama Savar, that's enough to call out. Simna Bameilov, that's not enough to call out. Rav Yudah says it is. Rabba, he says, Kuli Alma knows. Everybody agrees. I guess we have all these small arguments. Which one is strong enough to assume that that was the main, you know, which one of these arguments is the weighty one? He says, Kuli Alma Simna Sudoris Lo Havi Simna. The fact that you're going to step on it, that's not a simon. Ve'ma Virna Ala Ochan, and people don't pay, they'll pick it up. Vahakama Simna Abama Eilav, that's the argument. The Tanakama Savar Abama Eilav Lo Havi Simna. Rav Yudah Savar Simna Havi Simna. So the issues have been not only what's the main argument, but what's indicated in the words that they would have chosen to, you know, what do they mean in the opinions? Okay. Yeah.
For something that comes Habama Elov, it's just happened on its own, then the person who's the owner probably doesn't even know about that happened. So if this shard or some debris or whatever landed on this big cake while it was sitting in the Rishu Sarabim, and you say, oh, there's a simon there, how will the owner even know about the Habama Elov?
So then what's the opinion that says that it is a simon?
I know, that's what I'm asking. I don't know.
So you could say, is the owner likely to discover something unusual? He would know if his item has something unusual, and therefore he didn't give up hope of getting it, and therefore we have to announce it. So the question would be, does somebody notice something unusual, or does he only notice what he puts there? Or if the fact that it's unusual, yeah, I noticed this one came out funny. But there are different ways to learn that debate.
Right. Okay. Yeah.
What is the example of the simon abama elov? What's the typical example?
The piece of earthenware that falls into the fruit, the figs, or the money that falls into the bread. Those were the examples.
Okay.
I was wondering if maybe, like, you got to pound the figs a little bit to get them in that circle, and sometimes a piece breaks off in the pounding. The factories that we have, the boxes have staples in them. And so the big danger is that a staple will fall into the food, and most of them have metal detectors, and every single, especially in the spice companies, every single box gets run through a medical detector to find the staple, you know, in case that, and so things fall into the food, things that are around the food, even you're busy, you're rushed, things from the packaging will, sometimes we, you know, you have those things that are on that you seal bags with. Every now and then, sometimes a piece of that could fall in the food, you know, a twist tie or something. So those are simon habot. So I was thinking maybe that's the, but then how does the money fall into the bread? That's, unless when you sell bread, you're taking the coins, you know, you're taking the coins and, you know.
Is it in the
So that's a good question.
I don't remember exactly. It was a number of years.
Is it in the dough? You're saying, like, you know, it's in the dough. Like, yeah. You bite it. Oops, I bit on something. You left money in it. I don't know. It really didn't explain what the money in the bread was. That's a good point. Okay, yeah. Dr. Yaffe.
Yeah, I don't remember exactly, but I remember a few years ago there was a million dollar judgment for somebody that was traumatized because there was something like a snake or something like that in the food that they bought. I thought it was a stupid settlement. Like, how traumatized can you be? Because, you know, Nebuchadnezzar, there was a snake in it. But apparently the jury thought otherwise. Uh-huh. It was considered to be horrible trauma to look at your food and see this thing. So anyway.
People send me pictures of what they find in their food. Believe it or not. Usually when it's a worm or something, then I all of a sudden and it's I'm not so interested. Yesterday, somebody was finding their brown rice was infested. So we don't insist that you always check rice in America, because it's not so common that you have to assume that it's infested. If something's common, you're required to check before you use it. But this person was finding a particular brand that's available. They found was they ordered it twice, and both times it had teeming with bugs. So I got to see the pictures of the that it might be in our next. But it's just it's the interesting the Sephardim that the Persians that they always check rice. And we try to tell them in America, don't worry about it. The factories, no. They know it's in their family that they know rice can be bad, you know. And so I try to tell them it's good, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, if you want to. But it doesn't mean it doesn't mean you're obligated, you're required, but it's not a bad idea. For whatever reason, brown rice gets more infested than, but anyway, let's go back. I got off track on pictures of people sending me stuff that falls in the food. So now the Gemara is finished with the immediate discussion. And now, Omer Rizvid, four lines from the bottom. Omer Rizvid Mishmeid Rav, Klal Adav Vedaso. So what's the general rule for these lost objects when I'm allowed to keep it? He says, Kivin de Omerlo. Once the owner of it says, Vela, look, Soren Kiss. Woe to me, I lost my money. That's it, forget it, it's gone. So miyayish lemina, that's yish. Sounds like that there's a certain time where he says oi. He says oi, or he says, you know, it's gone. I'm never going to see it. Then it's yish. Amr zemish made rav hilkasa. We hold krik of shusa rabim. If these sheaves in rishusa rabim, you can keep them. Rishusa yach in a private area, it depends. E derek nefila, if they likely fell out. And randomly, the owner didn't even know where they fell. You could keep them. Yiderech hanacha. But if they're put in a special place, then you should call out umakus. V'zev v'zev b'davar she'en bo simen. And our discussion is where it doesn't got the guy's name on it. B'davar she'esh bo simen. But if it's got a clear identifying feature, then it makes no difference. Shusha rabbi in public. Lo shusha z'ya. Bein derech tefila. Bein derech hanacha. Chayav l'hakus. As we turn the page. Machraz v'shel dogen. And we got a string of fish. Amai lahave kesher simon. Well, the string, the knots on it, and it, people tie unique knots. So Lumara says no, but kitri ditzaidi. It's the fisherman's knot. The hunter, the people that it wasn't a unique knot. It was the standard knot. The kuli alma hakimakatulu. Everybody ties their fish the same way. I lahave minyan simon. Well, what about the special number? How many fish did you have? Good days and bad days. I caught 21 fish. Now, b'minyanu d'shavin, it's a normal, like, I guess they sell a string of fish with, like, five fish on it or whatever. It's a normal, so nothing unique there to call out. Boy, me name Rishesh, is minyan havi simon or love, but is the number a good simon or not? Oh, Rishesh, it's what we learn. Matzu, kli, kasev, kli, nechoshes. If you found something of silver, something of copper, kli, gisteron. Gisteron shall aver, something of lead. V'kol, kli, mata, and something of metal, you don't have to give back. Ashi, yitain, os. Unless the person can give some identifying feature, it has a unique something. Oh, achi kavin mishkala, or if they can tell you the exact weight. So Gemara says, and since you see that weight is a simon, amido minyan namiyav. What's weight? What is unique about weight? It means that not only it doesn't have to be that it's different; it has to be that you know something that not everybody would know. And so weight is something that if you knew it's 5 pounds and 6 ounces, sometimes we have that. We get a kosher order, and for whatever reason, the non-Jew opened the box before we got there, and it's meat. And there's no simen on it. And so, yeah, you can look at the how much did he pay for because it's the weight, and you put it on the scale. And if it's exactly the same weight, the weight is a simen. Okay. Katika shobah serves, we said pieces of meat. So why... if that's true, I have a mishko simon, mishko shavin. It's standard weight. It's a pound. I have a tika, tika gufa simon. But what about, you know, there's a lot of different types of meat. Ida dafka, ida atma. It could be the dafka meat or the atma meat. So Rashi says flankin. Let's see Rashi. He did dafka about seven lines. Savur, it's a neck meat. Shemati, mishum Reb Yitzchak bar Menachem Shemati. No, dafka is not neck meat. It's flankin. That's an old, that's a flankin, is the flankin meat. Now, why would you call a piece of meat flank? He says, because makam shedofa kashu yagia. It's a place where you when you're tired, you like whack or something. The word dofik means like to knock or something. I'm trying to explain how you would call a flank, the flanks. I think it means like you sit on your flanks. I don't know. They try to explain why that word, why that piece of meat got that funny name, flanken. Okay. But at any rate, why can't that be the simon? I lost a drumstick. I lost a wing. Me lo tanya did. If you have a certain piece of fish or certain, there's a bite out of it, you got to announce it. But a generic bottle of oil or wine or weed or that you could keep. He said the case is that there's a unique way that it's cut. People, when they cut things, they, just like you can tell handwriting, you can also tell how it's cut. He used to cut it in a certain way that it wouldn't get mixed up with Gentile meat. And for whatever reason, they'd put a picture in. Again, we don't believe that Rashi himself did it. The only question, though, is why would the printer think we don't know what a triangle looks like? But there's the triangle there, because it just says on three corners, so he has a picture here of three corners.
Here's your Hometash reference.
Is that your Hometash? Very good. Rabbi Golding says we got the Hometash. Very good. Gavaldik. Okay. That's the. I was wondering why there's a line on the top. You know, is that just get thrown in to like separate it? But okay. Deconomic tiny do mini diagnostic, just like the cut fish, mamina. Omar Mar Chavisho Yain. A barrel of wine of oil.
Line on the top.
What?
Michael doesn't have a line on the top.
Oh, it doesn't?
It's just, no. You see on the other two lines also, just that there are two lines to give it some dimension.
Oh, okay. He says in his Gemara, it didn't even have that line. I see. Oh, interesting. Okay. Thank you. So I shouldn't pay too much attention. I shouldn't darshan that whole line, why that's there. Okay, very good. It's true. It's not even part of the meat. So you think it was just thickening it to make it a stronger line. Okay. And then over time, it got printed from another printing, and so it started looking like two, and it was probably, oh, that's probably so. Okay. So, Omar Mar, Chavisho Yai, Shoshemesh, Shotvua, Shogroga, Shozeis. And we said various barrels you can keep. I have a nantan kadayan kadishem and chayabo. Didn't we learn that jugs you got to announce? The jugs, they have a seal on the top, and the seal was unique. So the Gemara said, you mean to tell me in the Brisa they were talking about open barrels? Ipsuka evademida. It's not going to last very long if you leave an open barrel in a public. The actual reason is because of bugs and things. Critters will get into it. So the Gemara said, Omra, Reuta b'meitzif. No, it's got like a temporary. They weren't totally open. They left the lid on, but not sealed. So apparently the lid isn't a sign, but they sealed it with clay, and so you know it usually has your fingerprints in it. I was thinking, you know, or it's got your, you know, when you seal it in clay, it takes a little work, and so everybody has their own uniques. You could identify your barrel by your seal. By if you attain the idea, but even if both of them have a seal, kan kodem shenifza artzos, it's before the season where they open them. Kan la'achas shenifza. In Rashi, being a vinter, knew all about. I shouldn't say he knew everything about everything, but he goes into a little bit of a description about the season when they were open and not open. I was wondering also if they let the wines air out a little bit or they don't. But there's a certain time where the barrels were open and certain times where they weren't. He found one that was after they opened them, and he said, oh, you can keep it. So sometimes there are simanim on it, sometimes they're not. Boy, is a place or not, a good simon or not. We learn, you could keep it. And if you're going to tell me that the place that's in is a simon, So what do you mean you could keep it? You should announce, I found this in such and such a place. Or I found this in a place, tell me where and I'll let you have it. Even if a place is a simon, but that's not if it's on the dock. On the dock, everything's unloaded there. That's not a simon, because that's a place means it's in a certain place that not everybody would know where it is. But to say I found a barrel on the dock, that doesn't mean anything. Why isn't that simon? We say just like yours might have been there, is Rami Nami the Chavruch. Other people leave stuff there as well. That's the exact reason that a place isn't something unique that identifies it. Because we say, just like you happen to leave your thing there, anybody else could put something there as well. So there was that person, he found some pitch. Found a piece of pitch. I guess pitch is a very it's a valuable thing. So he found some pitch bay mitzarta in the place where they process the olives, I think. Also kamed rava, can I keep the pitch? He said, yeah, you could keep it. He saw it's also interesting. Sometimes the rabbi tells you something and you want to hear a certain answer, and he seemed reluctant, like, I could keep it. I feel funny about this. It's like stealing. I thought you were going to tell me. Like, I didn't. How do I announce this pitch? Tell me what this pitch, this charcoal, whatever, this black stuff. How are you going to prove that you lost it? So Amrle, he said, oh, you don't want to keep it? All right, give half of it to my. You can give it to my son. So Paulagli Lechiabri. You think that I'm not saying that it's 100% kosher to keep it? Okay, you can give it to my. I don't mind taking it. Give it to my son. He'll be happy to take it from you. So I assume that meant that he was, that would, okay, I guess if even you would keep it, I guess I could keep it. Lema kasavra mar makam lo avi simon. Yeah, but why can't you tell me where you found the pitch? So Amrab Mishum Yish Bailum Nagabo. He said that there's something else going on over here. The owner gave up hope to Chazi Bay Kilpi. He saw seaweed growing out of it. Apparently, not seaweed. You could tell the pitch had been there a long time. There's new pitch and there's old pitch. I know nothing about pitch, but does the art school call it pitch, by the way? Does anybody know what pitch looks like? Pitch is a mineral, right? It's like stone, what?
I thought it was just tar.
It's not a mineral. It's actually a distilled product. It's distilled from plant sap, and it's sort of dark and sticky.
Really? Okay.
Foul smelling, yeah. Where the peach tree state, it's actually not peach tree, it's pitch tree, and it means a pine tree. It's the sap from the pine tree.
To me, that sounds, that I would, I always thought we had peach trees. Telling me it's...
No, it's pine. It's pine. I mean, if you've ever seen a pine tree that has its bark denuded in a place that's very sticky.
Well... So I really wanted to get to the Purim, and I wasn't really trying to tease you, but it's late, and so have a great Shabbos, everybody, and make sure to see the Purim hint at the bottom. Okay, have a good day. Good Shabbos.